Number 31, beginning there tonight, Matthew chapter 12, verse number 31, we'll be reading down to verse 37 tonight. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you this evening. We have the privilege to be able to gather in a place to sing and to worship, to give you honor. Lord, you are so deserving. But we come tonight now as needy people, needy of you to speak to our hearts, to teach us. For Lord, we are a people who, without your grace, we are vile. We are as a worm. But by your grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, we can be like unto yourself. And Lord, how we thank you, how we praise you, that you are so willing to lift us up out of the miry clay and set our feet upon a solid rock. Tonight, as we look at your word, that which is very solid, that which teaches us, oh, Spirit of God, teach our hearts. Work in us tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. Last week, on Sunday evening, we saw in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 that they had received the words of the Apostle Paul as though they were the very words of God. I believe there were some reasons for that, and we dealt with those reasons to some degree. And as we looked there, we found that one of the reasons, because it came from a heart of a man that was filled with the truth of God. And if there's a necessity in our lives today in order to convey the truth of God, to convey the Word of God, it must fill our hearts. I believe also the apostle was simply overwhelmed at the trust that God gave to him with the gospel. I mean, think about it tonight. God gives to you and me, we who are so unworthy, He gives us the perfect Word of God. He allows us the perfect Holy Spirit of God to enter into our soul and gives us the privilege to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a tremendous privilege that is. I believe also that as he preached to them, there was absolutely no personal gain considered. It was not that he might gain anything from them. It was all with a heart that was wanting to give and to pour himself out to these people. I believe also that all of his conversation, and I say conversation, I mean all of his mannerism, everything, was bathed in kindness. Oh, how we need this wonderful trait in our day and age, just plain old kindness. What a blessed thing. And then I believe, as we look lastly last week, the position of Christ is taken. And that position was that Lord Jesus Christ was willing to bear all the abuse that we might be benefited. And that was exactly the Apostle Paul. He was willing to bear the abuse that others might be benefited. He was willing to go through whatever it needed to be that others might be able to hear the truth of God. From our text tonight, we are looking at what I believe are some words about the importance of words. I want us to see tonight the kind of words that we should use. The kind of thing that ought to be expressions that come from within that needs to be used. And from our text, I believe first and foremost, we ought to recognize that our words ought to be that which exalts God. If you go back to verse number 31, we notice here that he says here, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven them, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Blasphemy is ridicule of one and attributing their works to another. This is particularly true as we think of God. If you go back to verse number, verse 24, notice what it says. When the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. The Lord Jesus was saying to them here, hey, listen. These people who attributed my works to the devil, he said, they can be forgiven. But when we are careless and attribute the works of the Holy Spirit to the unholy one, God says it cannot ever be forgiven. In this world or the world to come. I believe that teaches us a very, very important truth about God, especially the Holy Spirit of God. And that is that all of our words really ought to be for the glory of God. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 11 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And so if there's something that our words ought to do, that ought to bring glory to God. Well, let's be honest for a moment. That just does not always happen, does it? And for that we ought to be ashamed. For that we ought to seek God, ask Him to forgive us. And thank God He will forgive us. Amen. But we ought to be in the business of exalting God. Notice with me verse 33, 34, and 35. For in these verses, I believe that the Lord is going to teach us something that is very important concerning our language. It's not that you need to learn how to talk better. It does not mean that you need to have a course in English. It does not mean that what we need in matters of speech is that we need a tutor to sit there and help us with our intonation, to help us with our pronunciation. That is not the matter of all. It comes down to a matter of the heart. Notice what it says. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruits. He's saying what you're seeing, the words you hear, is that which is what coming out of the person. It's coming out of the heart. He gets into the matter a little farther in verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So first and foremost, we need to what? Exalt God with the words that we use. Secondly, we need to understand that our language, if it's going to bring forth that glory to God, must be brought about as a change comes to our hearts. There's where the real need is. That is absolutely a necessity. I believe it was Wednesday night, I'm not sure, but I was preaching or teaching on a particular subject, and one of the things I mentioned was this, and what I mentioned is that, you know, I went to Bible school, I spent some time in that place, and I learned some wonderful things. But the most critical thing that must be learned, and it can happen any place, you don't need a Bible school to do this, and that is how to tend to the heart. For if we have not the heart and we have the doctrine, then something is missing. We criticize sometimes those who speak of only the heart and have their doctrine all mixed up. But oh, how important it is to have the heart in that place of tenderness, in that place that's walking with Him and allowing God to speak to it. Heart tending will tone our language. But notice with me verse 36 and 37. And the verse that really captivated my attention, verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Verse 37 is saying, hey, we are going to have our character judged by what we say. And God is going to judge us by the idle words. Idle words. It would do good for us to discover what does He mean by idle words. And I think the idea is those words which are useless. Those words which really have no value, they're just being said. They have no necessity in the lives of some other people. We're just filling spots with it. Sometimes we do that in preaching. We'd be very effective increasing our influence upon others if we learn not to use idle words. So I begin to think, God, what do you mean by idle words? What are some of those words that we use that are really valueless? Let me take you to Matthew chapter 7 for a moment. Book of Matthew chapter number 7. A number of things flooded my mind. In Matthew chapter number 7, I look here and I would have to describe this as I'm thinking about words as words of judgment. Notice what he says, judge not that ye be not judged. If you don't want to be judged, then don't do it. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Judgmental words will make us a target. Judgmental words will make us a target. I was told a story some years ago about an evangelist who went to a church, and he got in the pulpit the night before, and as he was preaching, he got on clothing. And as he was preaching on the clothing issue, he began to preach at the women. And as he preached to the women, he said, you should not be wearing that which pertains to a man. He began to tell them then exactly what he believed that which pertained to a man was. And he said that any of you women who are sitting here with slacks on, you are ungodly. You are out of God's will. And it is not God's will for you to ever put on a pair of pants. Pretty strong words. He was making some judgments. The next morning, the pastor of the church, he got in his car, went over to the motel, picked up the evangelist, said, let's go to have breakfast. And he said, would you mind after breakfast? He said, I got together with the men last night and we would like to buy you a suit. He said, oh yeah, that'd be great. Let's go have breakfast and then we're going to go. He's saying, man, I'm going to buy me a brand new suit. And so they went and had a nice breakfast. And after the breakfast, they went to the local department store. And he said, there is one catch, however. And he said to the evangelist, he said, they have picked out a specific suit they want you to wear. You can pick out the color, but there's a specific kind of suit that they want you to have. And so as they were walking through the department store, he stopped in the women's clothing. And there he parted away some of the clothes, and sitting on some racks were some women's pantsuits. And he said, here's your choice. Whatever color you want, we will have it altered to fit you. And he said, those are women's clothes. The pastor said, not by your definition last night. Interesting. He made a judgment call. What does the Bible say? Well, we can look at clothing for a little bit. The Bible says that women ought to adorn themselves modestly. Matter of fact, I believe that we could go to the Word of God and we could say that, hey, modesty is that which is going to cover up and not allow men to be gawking and having sensual thoughts in their mind. I believe we can do that scripturally. But we have to be careful when we start making judgments. Did he prefer that? By all means, he did. Nothing wrong with that preference. There are many in our church. That's all that they will do, and I appreciate that. If I had my own personal way, that would be what I'd like to see in all cases. But my Bible does not say women don't wear pants. Matter of fact, a robe the disciples wore look an awful lot like dresses to me. See, a lot of things depend on society. A lot of things depend upon the culture we live in and so forth. And so a lot of times what happens, we come out of different backgrounds and different kinds of things, and we try to impose upon people certain kinds of things. And we make judgments. And we make a lot of judgments of that nature. I'm going to guarantee you something, we're going to get them brought right back to us. And we're going to have to stare them straight in the face. Just as that pastor made that evangelist stare that one straight in the face. Judgmental words that we use will make us a target. Here's an interesting thought along this same line. Very few like to say hurtful words to kind people. Have you noticed that? Very few, there are some, who like to say hurtful words to kind people. But oh, when we are these judgmental kind, and boy, we have the things spewing off. I don't like this, and I don't like that, I don't like the other thing. And we have no really chapter and verse. Just our own personal thoughts about it. We find ourselves in trouble. When I was a little boy, I love snowball fights. You know, I love snowball fights. I never played anything ever to lose. How many play to lose? Anybody like that? Kenny, you don't play to lose anything. I've watched you. You know what's disgusting? Little leagues today, they play and don't keep score. What's the point?
Well, I don't want those little kids to have a complex the rest of their life because they lost.
We have to deal with adversity in life. Amen? Yeah, we have to learn how to deal with it. I don't know how I got off on that one. But we like to, man, we snowball fought. I mean, we had snowball fights. I could throw a really fast hardball. I mean, when I was a kid, I had a very good arm until I was 16. And honestly, in snowball fight, I threw out my arm. Have not been able to throw with the speed ever since. Cannot throw the distance ever since. But when we had snowball fights, you know who our main target was? That nasty guy that was always mean. Yeah. That's who we were after. And so we need to understand something tonight. Judgmental words he talks about here will bring it back to us. Now here's a key. Here's a wonderful thing that we have. In the pulpit, in the classroom, in our situations, in our family, the Word of God is very judgmental. And when we stick right to what it says, then we let it do the speaking. Okay? We can let it do the speaking. So I can come to, going back to clothing, I can come to the thing of modesty, and I can look at the principle of modesty. Okay? I can look at the principle of that which is going to be detracting in the mind, especially of a man, for whatever a woman wears. And causing somebody to sin as a result of that. And by the way, if we hear somebody that something bothers them, and we say, well, I don't understand why that bothers them, they're just going to have to get over it. It's really our responsibility to help them with that by not doing it. So we got some biblical principles to go by. And those things we can look at, those things give us our authority and give us our ability to say it. But when we begin to take those things and go to the next step and pass our little judgments, wow. When we begin to, rather than look at an action of a person and see that that is wrong, and we look at the person and tell them, hey, that was a wrong thing to do. We just look at the person and say, you're stupid. Now we've attacked their character. As opposed to being one who is showing them what is wrong in their life out of a heart of love. We dealt with it a little bit this morning as we were talking about brotherly love in our Sunday school class. But there's another thing that comes to this matter of useless words marring our influence in the lives of others. And that is when we begin to assume what another person's intent is. And when we do that, oftentimes it leads us to accusations that are completely absurd and sometimes very, very false. You say, well, I'm right most of the time. It really doesn't matter. My Bible tells me in John 7:24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. There is something else that we need to really take into account on these idle words. If you would turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 1. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1. I would to God in our nation today that we would get back to biblical principles. One of the biblical principles we need to get back to is in the judges of America. A judge needs to understand that when they sit with that robe on, sit in that elevated place, they need to understand that is a position that God has granted them. They are to be making godly judgments. Seriously. Judges of the past knew and understood this. But it's not studied, it's not understood today. Let's notice here what God says about this. Deuteronomy chapter number 1, verse 16. He says, I charged your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother, and the stranger that is with him. And ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. God is making something very, very clear here. And that is that contempt or dislike of an individual, in other words, we have respect of persons, disqualifies us from making judgment calls. Matter of fact, I believe, based upon what I see in the words in Matthew chapter number 12, we will be held accountable to God for such judgment. Be careful of our idle words. God has given us a wonderful thing called language. And in that language, we have the privilege to convey our thoughts and our feelings one to another. We have the ability to edify and to build. We have the ability, most of all, to glorify God. And oftentimes, rather than using the brotherly love that we spoke of this morning, we take upon ourselves the position of an ungodly judge and dish out some pretty harsh judgments. The tremendous need that is ours to do in this regard is to stick to the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit of God bring conviction. Let the Holy Spirit of God be the one that deals with a person in those regards. Do you know what I found? I have found that when I really tell a person off, it does not help a thing. They do not listen. They do not gain anything from it. They resent me for it. And I find myself in a position of hatred as a result. But when I seek to use the right words to be a help and a blessing, then things are different. Things are different. It would be better for us to probably walk up to a person and say, you really did something stupid. You don't know how to handle anything. And to say, you know, that really bothers me what you did, and I just want you to know how to... bothers me. Where are we putting the emphasis on me? We're too often what? Making accusations. And saying things that are hurtful. Are there things in Scripture that's going to be hard? Jesus said this is a hard saying. Did He tell us that there are principles that are very difficult? Oh, very much so. But as God's people, our job is to give that. Let the Holy Spirit of God use that in their life. To how He wants to do it. We may have our personal preferences, but they need to understand it's our preferences. It's something personal inside. And you need to understand that you love them just as much. Even so. Amen. It's so needful in our day and age. Have you noticed the harshness of words that are being spoken in this world? Have you noticed how many folks are so rude when you go into public? It's not in the heart. And we as God's people have brought too much of the world into our own conversation. How we need to let God mend in our own hearts. That heart might be full of God. That it might spew forth those things which the Holy Ghost once spewed forth. Amen. Father, tonight, we are a guilty people who stand before You. Lord, based upon the authority of the Word of God, You have said that there will be no idle word that is not brought in judgment before You. Oh God, we have made such use of useless words. I pray, oh God, that You might plant in our hearts a great desire to walk with You. That which is within might be holy and just and right. It might not be self-serving, but God, that it might be glorifying to You. And not be divisive. Not be that which tears apart, but brings together. Lord Jesus, our language we find is important. Help us speak right. I pray in Christ's holy, precious, wonderful name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Chris at the piano.